Today, we're talking Origin. Queenslanders don't get Origin, do they, mate? We're also going to unpack our thoughts, what needs to change before Game 2, and what else are we looking at, Steve?
Mate, I really want to dive into a few of these rookie Origin performances. I thought they were some of the best out there on the field. And then some interesting matchups this weekend that will rely on heavily some of these Origin players backing up or not. So in for a cracking episode, Hawk.
All right, mate, let's get into it. It's good to see you on Tuesday, mate. Always good to catch up face-to-face. You're in New South Wales where we win. That's always a good thing.
Yes, mate. It was great to have a couple of beers with you. It was good to get south of the border. Obviously, good timing with what happened last night. But it was good to catch up, and even better while we got fireworks on the field last night. The New Zealand Warriors fans have certainly provided some fireworks for you. They've come after you hard on social media, and I, for one, am very happy and impressed with it. Some of those sledges. I learned a few new words. Let's put it that way. The Warriors fans have listed on you, and I'm so happy about it, mate.
Mate, to be fair, most of them were unloading on you because they were talking about the sin bin that you were going on about. Mate, they did not miss, did they? Well, it was great, though, because it boosted the social media content massively. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, I would have liked them to listen to the whole episode. I think they would have got a little bit better information from us, but it's good to hear that some of them are passionate about their team. They're Absolutely. Going to be in it for a long way, the Warriors, this season. So that was good to catch up and have a laugh over a few of those comments. Certainly keep them coming if you're one of those fans. We had a good laugh over it.
Absolutely. I was just getting the video up now so I could see some of the comments because there were some belters. They thought we were Broncos fans. That was the bit that I was most offended by. I was replying for a little while to them. Just saying, look, boys, we listen to the whole episode, like you said. But let's read some of the more choice comments. Stop crying, bitches, you lost. Next game. Oh, very good. And then it gets better than that. Can't read that one. You see you next Tuesday still crying. What else have we got? Oh, mate, what was the best one? We got called foreskins or something. That was a new one.
We did, yeah. No, certainly very passionate Warriors fans, so I think we'll leave it on social media, but I'm quite happy that they're engaging, mate, and they're protecting their team, so we'll see how we go this week, see if we get as controversial comments through this week. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. We did talk about getting a fan on, and I did ask a few of the Warriors fans, and two of them were keen, but they've gone quiet now. When it comes when it comes to the crunch, and I'm giving them opportunity to come on, they've suddenly gone quiet. So, boys, if you're listening, put up or shut up. Sick of keyboard Warriors, but we do like the comments, so bring them on. And it certainly was entertaining as we read through them on Tuesday night. Very good. Let's get to Origin. Of course, I was very much tongue-in-cheek about Queensland not getting Origin, but we were awful.
Yep.
My first thoughts were, how could we possibly have been mentally prepared for the game if we're making those sort of elementary errors, particularly Taiho, who's like they said in the commentary, he wouldn't have made three mistakes in his career. And he stuffed three play the balls. And another thing that I noticed around that same area, the mental side, Queensland always talk about playing for Queensland. I didn't hear that from any of the New South Wales players. It was a big focus for Madge, and he got everyone connected. But actually, the only comment I heard afterwards was Cleary talking about, you know, the naysayers and, you know, he hasn't owned Origin and all that sort of stuff. And he said, I just worry about, you know, I'm just playing for the people who support me. What happened to your plan for your state? What happened to we're all in it together? To me, it says that there's a real lack of connection, and that showed up within the team at different times as well. Strange absolutely snapped. Munster got a turnover when we badly needed it, and they didn't get in and around him. Now, they could have been gassed because they'd been under the pump there for a while, but there's a lot to be said for they just went up for the game, and it's kind of been a bit of a trend, unfortunately, in Laurie's rain this time around, that we just don't start well. That's a problem.
Yeah, 100%, mate. That's exactly what stood out. After obviously 16 minutes, there were three tries for the Maroons, and look, it looked like it was going to be a very tough night for New South Wales. They didn't look in it. To your point around Tuo's drop balls in the ruck, Stephen Crichton had two of his own. They did not start well. They didn't look good. They didn't look like they were. They didn't look like they'd even trained together. Which, you know, they picked a lot of those players on combinations. They didn't look good at all. They were slow through the middle. You know, the big change for me come when Murray and
Radley
come onto the field. You could really see a change. I thought they were two of our better players. I've seen a lot of pats on the back for Murray. I haven't seen Radley get his credit. I think they really changed the game for New South Wales, and they got back in the hunt then. They slowed Queensland down. Obviously, the big controversy is the send-off, but if you break it down without that, you know, Queensland went 40 minutes without scoring a point in between the penalty goal that Walker kicked and the send-off, and that was due to those two coming on in the middle and really making a difference. So, you know, we thought that he got the team's makeup wrong daily when he named Saifidi, Fanua Blake, etc., and we were right, Barnett. You know, for Saifidi to be out the field, for us only to have two edge forwards, Olakau'atu starts to cramp up. We've got to push Murray or Crichton out to an edge. Murray or Radley out to an edge. When they were so effective through the middle, it just doesn't make sense. So, you know, I thought they were big. Then, you know, obviously the big talking points, the send-off. And whichever side of the Tweed you live on, you're going to have your different opinions on that. But from there, that obviously changed the game. It's such a hard game to defend when you've got 13. To do it against 12 is almost impossible. And for the Blues to score those three tries and get it at the end, that's obviously going to be the huge take out of the game. But I thought there were so many other storylines that we also witnessed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. Murray and Radley changed the game. I couldn't have been more impressed with Radley. I was actually quite excited about how good he went. And suddenly there was some real steel and resolve in that middle. He was hitting everything that moved. He defended so well. You know, we were under the pump, so it definitely turned the tide. He wasn't making huge meters, but no one was. But it was just that speed around the ruck, defensively in particular, but then when we got the ball, Cam Murray, quick play the balls, Radley was the same. Yeah, Laurie talked about not making changes, we didn't give ourselves a chance. Well, no, he didn't give ourselves a chance, but surely you're going to unpack that game and there's a whole lot of changes you're going to make. To me, someone said it today on the radio, Queensland pick players out of form and they lift. That's not New South Wales. We pick form players, and Crichton was out of form, and he looked clunky. Now, to be fair, he did some good things at the end, and maybe he might have played himself into a bit of form in that environment. But for me, McLean just comes straight in. Like, yeah. They talked about people born for Origin. He's just born for the big game. He went into that Panthers game. He killed it. His first game for New Zealand, he was unbelievable, and he was only a teenager still. And last night, his first touch set up a try. Because he took that ball, he made meters, and then we go down the other end score. But everything he touched was of the highest quality. Probably the only thing he got wrong was when he passed it, when he should have just pinned the ears back and scored late in the game.
Yeah, agree, mate. For mine, I was against Crichton getting picked in the first place. And I think, you know, you talk about those couple of line breaks late in the game. Obviously, the Ethan Strange try come from one of his line breaks. But that was when Queensland were out on their feet. Up until then, you know, he made two really crucial errors in the play of the ball. And he just didn't look like, you know, we've seen him over the last few years. So he isn't in form. And I think a couple of those line breaks late in the game sort of hid that. You know, look, for mine, you're right. I don't think he'll change McLean. I think he's certainly got to do something with the big man. Payne Haas will be back for Origin 2 with the assumption he gets through the next couple of games for the Broncos. So, you know, Saifidi will certainly come out of the team. And then whether he takes one of the other big men, a Fenua Blake, potentially out and replaces them with someone that can play on an edge, that'll be interesting to see. But knowing Daly and what he's done in years gone by, he's just going to keep rolling out with the same, with the exception of Haas. I think the big one for me will be Ethan Strange. You know, he's already mentioning Mitchell Moses in the press conference about being in part of the squad. Obviously, Burton will drop out. But for mine, this allowed Cleary to perform the way he did because he had that running 5'8 that we've been asking for the past 5 or 6 years for New South Wales. So, you know, he was really impressive, Ethan Strange. I was a bit surprised he wasn't man of the match. He certainly was for mine. So, you know, if he goes and tinkers too hard and starts going back to the Moses and keeps some of those middle forwards, I think Queensland are still in this series, especially when you consider we've got one down south and then one up in Queensland, that if he doesn't make the right changes, Queensland are still in this with a big shout.
Oh, of course. They always are. They will be until it's a done deal. So two things there. You mentioned edge forwards. Liam Martin will be fit, apparently. But he plays on the right. I wouldn't be moving Olakau'atu out of there, so maybe Martin comes on the bench because he can probably play middle at a pinch as well. The other thing, you mentioned things getting glossed over. To me, Tedesco was poor. He took some bombs under pressure. That was good, but there were a few mistakes there as well. But he just seemed to stunt a lot of our attack when we're getting something going. You either get in the road or he'd a poor pass or in the run of play you kind of get the feel of how the game is by what you're complaining about, and I just remember complaining about him forever. And that four-man overlap, I just knew the moment that he tried to pass it where it was going to head, because that's just typical of New South Wales to bomb the certain try. But again, it's like it was almost like he was trying to too hard to prove that he should have been there. And whereas instinctive Tedesco would have run and either thrown the dummy and just gone himself, or he would have drawn the one defender and then he would have either kicked him behind or made the pass. But it was like almost like it was panic. Panic.
We mentioned it to each other over a beer on Tuesday, mate. When we heard that Mitch Moses was out, my exact words to you were, if Tedesco and Yeo don't get in the way, this is Cleary's opportunity. And I thought Yeo didn't. I thought he went forward and he, you know, took the hit up more so than ball played. I thought early doors, Cleary was 1-2 off the ruck. So, you know, there was a lot of times where Murray or Yeo was passing. It was a quick pass. They weren't taking steps. But I didn't like the look of that at all. You know, Queensland, it's Origin. They're fast in defence. Everyone, both teams are always offside. That's just the game. So, you know, that second half, they stopped that. And Cleary was closer to the ruck, which I really liked. But, yeah, Teddy, unfortunately, just got in the way a little bit. And a lot of times he got in the way and then realised he was in the wrong spot, so tried to pass it off, and it just wasn't fluent. So, look, he scored that try. There is no doubt he's going to be in Origin 2. But I think if he doesn't score that try and Queensland hold on, I think there could have been certainly question marks from the press. But, yeah, look, for mine, Haas has got to come in. Liam Martin, he's an experienced campaigner enough to be able to play on either side. So I think definitely both of those players have got to come into the side. And then he's already tipped his hat that Moses will be back in. But I really, really like what Strange did at six. He was super impressive. I really like the Manly winger before he got hit. Before he got hit by Ponga. His work rate out the back end was really impressive. You know, Cobbo was good on the other side, but he was probably one of the best wingers with what he did. Just out of his own end, Kola really worked hard. And then, you know, on that break where he did get hit, he was starting to, you know, you could see his confidence building. He was starting to take a few more runs and getting out wide. So, yeah, the rookies for mine, and, you know, you talk about the other side of the fence. I thought Walk's first half was absolute class. He didn't have those opportunities in the second half. New South Wales were obviously on the front foot and they lost a man. But Walker's first half was super impressive. So I thought the rookies really stood up, and you can see a number of them are going to be long-term State of Origin players, mate.
Yeah, it's all about born for Origin. Like Walker was just all-class decision-making, calm. Like he was so good, and he would have won man of the match if they'd hung on. For sure, I reckon. Although there were plenty talking about Catewell today. He got a bit of a bath at the end when they were playing one man down and he had to defend at centre against Katoni Stagg. So that might have counted against him. But, Walker was fantastic. I mentioned here how calm he was. One thing I noticed when we went the extra man up and the game's there to be won, Nathan was calm. Yep. And he just made a few little things, like he was, he started to plan it out wide. We just went straight down the middle. Actually, the back end of the second half, when we come back into the game, when we got a bit of a roll on, instead of trying to then play it wide, he just kept bringing them back to the middle and tiring out those middle forwards. So some of the damage was done then as well. And I don't want to sound like Phil Gould saying, I told you so, but I did say to the missus, like with about 20 to go, I got the feeling that Nathan's going to bring us home here because he just looked right on. And then, he goes and does the 40-20. And, what we've all been waiting for him to do, we just need him to do it for a whole series and for probably not 80 minutes, because if you look at the big moments, not every man of the match performance has been an 80-minute performance. Like the amount of times that Wally Lewis would just take this game by the scruff of the neck when it needed to be won, and he'd win man of the match, not because he dominated the whole game, but because he the moment was there and he took it. So, plenty of upside for New South Wales given how bad they were. I'm just concerned that, we're just not, particularly first half, we're just not looking like we're in the right headspace to get the job done.
No, we weren't, mate. We certainly got to start better. And I think Payne Hassel will certainly help that, being out there in the middle. But obviously the errors come from the back five between Tuo and Crichton. I think there were five errors. Look, the good news for New South Wales, and we've probably spoken about New South Wales too much and not enough for Queensland, but the good news with New South Wales is whether there was a man down or not, they created three other opportunities. So obviously that Teddy pass to Olakau'atu should have been a try. I thought the Murray try, no try, when he pushed Catewell, I thought that was a try. It certainly could have gone either way. And then the Ethan Strange try where Hamali's gone straight at Grant. Hamali gets that line a bit better and hits Grant's inside shoulder, and that's a try. So while none of them, were fair enough, I'm happy that none of them were. The referee went the right way. They're just opportunities that were very close as well. So while, they didn't start real well, there were green shoots for New South Wales. But I still have my concerns about Daly with what team you'll pick going into Origin 2. And then to your point, is he going to have them in the right frame of mind from opening kickoff to be able to make sure that there's no more errors? They can't give Queensland that much ball because Walker and Munster at the moment are going to put points on.
Yeah. We've talked all year about possession. So really, 20-0... isn't that bad result considering how much we turned over for them and how much we were just under the pump coming out of our own end. They were having an attacking kick. I actually remember at one point Sam Walker kicked long and thinking that's probably the first time. It was about half an hour in and I probably missed one, but that I was thinking at the time that's probably the first kick he's had to do out of the backfield because of the rest of them. He was putting up bombs from about 40 metres out and they were contesting. Even share of possession, it's a completely different game. It's just, are we capable of that given how we started? But that remains to be seen. Other good debutants, Blake Brayley was super impressive. I don't know, maybe he just stays there on the bench and comes on earlier or whether there's a thought about putting him on, but he was certainly impressive. Some of the new guys certainly had good games. We probably should, spend some more time talking about Queensland. They, with all that ball, I thought we actually scrambled pretty well, but it was Munster and Grant doing what they didn't do for the first probably 10 weeks for the Storm, being more ruthless, and then they got good players around them. They got Walker there creating some stuff as well. They were patient and they probably should have gone for the 2 points in hindsight when they had that chance to take it ahead later in the game as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think Grant was Queensland's best, and I know that's a big statement, but 80 minutes in the middle, to your point, New South Wales' game plan was to go straight down central, and Harry Grant got through a lot of work in defence, and then when the time needed in attack, he was really sharp. So, you know, he's been, you know, one of the best players in the NRL. We've spoken about it week in, week out, in a, you know, pretty hard-beaten Storm outfit. And he carried that form into Queensland. I thought he was really good. What stood out for me early, and yeah, they had all the ball early, I get all that, but what stood out for me early for Sam Walker was the amount of time he had. You know, I'm screaming at the TV for one of these back rowers, and like Liam Martin is a perfect example. He's terrorised Munster over the course. Get up in his face and knock him over. It literally took until about the 20, 25th minute before someone set him on his ass. And the first time he got tackled with the ball was when he almost slipped over. That was the only time New South Wales laid a glove on him. So he had so much time, and that's hard in general, let alone in State of Origin. So I certainly thought he showed that he's going to be, you know, the future seven for Queensland. And, you know, to think that Dearden, you know, is going to be a long-term six for them is you know, really impressive for Queensland. I thought they're back, you know, Cobbo, probably the best game he's had all season. The two centres, I thought, didn't get the credit they deserved either. I thought Toya and Hammer were pretty impressive as well. So, to your point, a few things happened when they lost Ponga and they had to move Capewell out to that left edge, and Stag started seeing a little bit more ball. But I think there was some really impressive, you know, impressive things by Queensland. So, yeah, this series is by far still up for grabs for mine. I think the team selection is going to be a huge one for what New South Wales do. I can't see many changes for Queensland. I think they'll roll out, barring any injuries, I think they'll roll out a very, very similar side. But New South Wales, with the two we've mentioned, and then potentially Moses as well, it'll be interesting to see what Daly does.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at the player ratings, and it's funny when the result goes the other way how suddenly the player ratings get slanted towards a winning team, because Ponga's got a 3. Now, okay, he got sent off, but he's played 60 minutes and he looked dangerous every time he got the ball. Like, I don't think he dropped one when they were put some pretty tough bombs to him. Cobbo's got a 6. Yeah. Like, please. He was enormous. I'm with you in the centres. Toya was good. I thought Jojo Fifita was good. He made that one mistake, but apart from that, just because they played for 20 minutes with 12 men, you don't suddenly remove all the ratings. That's crazy.
If we're willing to say that Cleary's kicking game was first class and he nailed it, well, Ponga was down there defusing it. Right. So, you know, to your point, when a few things happened, obviously the Tedesco kick the kick for Tedesco's try, the 40-20, Ponga's on the sideline. Now, whether he deserved to be there or not, well, that's an argument for another time. But when Ponga was out there, I thought his positional play, I thought he far played the pants off Tedesco as far as positional play go. You think that early kicking game, both Munster and Walker kicked through into the in goal, and Tedesco was nowhere to be seen for two early tries. So I thought it's a bit harsh on Ponga. Just giving him a 3 because he got sent off with 20 to go is a bit silly for mine. But all in all, I think there's a lot for both teams to take out of it. I think if Ponga doesn't get sent off, I think Queensland win. I think that's pretty obvious. I think if he gets sent to the bin for 10, I think it's probably, you know, hit or miss, but I think both teams will walk away with that, knowing that they can still win the series from the position they're in. Obviously, you'd rather be one up, it goes without saying, but I think Slater will still think that he's got enough in the tank here to run over the top of them in a decider up at Suncorp Stadium.
No doubt at all. Tino was much better than his club form. We expected that. Who else did we have? Paddy Carrigan was enormous when he came off the bench as well. Like they, the only guys that probably battled a bit were the guys that had to come in at the end and just defend for their life. Trent Liero, Nicker probably was the same. He was probably doing a lot of defending. He didn't actually get on when they were attacking. So, yeah like as always, plenty to like. And there were times where this is one thing I've noticed the last couple of years is that the game goes in ebbs and flows. When Queensland are under the pump, but it looks like we're getting on top, they just seem to find a way. Whereas when Queensland are getting on top and we're slipping away, we don't seem to be able to hang on as long. We probably didn't do a terrible job last night, but the back end of the half, I thought we were getting on top. And then when we scored, I thought we probably should have scored again a couple of times there, but we didn't remain calm. There was a couple of wrong options, and that might have been one of Crichton's mistakes, was it, when we had good ball for the first time in a while? And, mate, that's so frustrating.
Yeah, look, Queensland play Origin football, right? And New South Wales don't, and it's been happening since 1980. Only glimpses, depending on a team or a coach, of New South Wales gotten it. As much as I bleed blue, at the end of the day, you've got to take your hats off to the way Queensland play every single Origin game. It's just based on effort. Don't make a mistake. Keep working hard for your mate, and you're going to get there in the end. And once again, 20 minutes with only 12 players, they almost made it, right? He scored with a minute to go. And if Hammer takes that out of Tedesco's hands, Queensland win the game, and everyone goes, Queensland's done it again. So it was a huge effort. To your point around Carrigan coming on, having a big game, you know, that may be the one change Slater makes. He's going to have to come up with a strategy that when Radley and Murray do come onto the field, that he matches that intensity, because, I can't see him, while I would love to see it, I can't see him starting, daily starting with either of them two. So I think that'll happen again. So I think Slater may make some changes, and potentially, you know, whether Plath comes on at the same time and he starts with Liero or Carrigan. But he will have to come up with some sort of idea, because if New South Wales are even pegging when those two come on in game two, then that could be trouble for Queensland. But, all in all, plenty of talking points and another great game of Origin footy.
Absolutely. I think I'm just thinking about in terms of New South Wales pack, I think it's about size, it's about mobility. And those guys that came on were so mobile. Haas is going to come back, he's mobile. And we didn't look like that. And the way the game's being played now, again, probably won't happen, but it would make more sense if Yeo goes in and plays in the middle like he was, as more of a front rower role, and Murray plays that distribution role, because of the speed and just how he's able to get over the ad line and actually get the set of six rolling forward. So it will be really interesting to see with an even share of possession, but ultimately, will that happen? I don't know.
Well, can't wait for another couple of weeks, and we'll get to see game two, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I just still don't know why we play at MCG. I mean, I know why, because of the cash, but just... got all these great footy stadiums, and yeah, doesn't make sense for me. All right, anything from the commentary in and around the game that you enjoyed or were frustrated by?
Look, I really liked, obviously the big talking points, the send off. I just love how passionate they all are, no matter what side, whether you agree. You know, personally, I think it should have been 10 in the bin. I don't think it should have been a send-off, as much as I bleed blue and I'm very biased. I think it should have been 10 in the bin. But regardless of what your opinion is, I just love the passion. You know, everyone's got an opinion on it. Everyone's so passionate about it. You know, the Courier-Mail back home is running a petition to get rid of Klein from Origin 2. It's just so good to see rugby league just invoke that sort of emotion. It's one of the highest rating Origins ever on TV. And obviously after the back of the controversy, Origin 2 is going to be massive as well. So I just love that. I love that part about it. Look, as far as the commentary, I haven't heard a great deal about it. I don't really see too much I disagree with outside of your point around, you know, the win or the loss affects people, you know, when the so-called experts or the journos put those ratings out. And I think that should be scrapped away, you know. You know, you rate the player on how his performance was, not on the end result. So, I just can't wait for the next instalment.
Agreed. I was with you. For me, sin bin. But then when I had a look this morning, and it's like, I don't like it, but this is kind of how they've been refereeing it. When you go in there recklessly and you're out of control, which he did, and you know, people were posting all sorts of still images and different angles where it does look like his shoulder hits his chin before his head follows through and hits him.
Yeah.
Like, if we're having to go to that length, then it's just, let's just make it a sin bin. I mean, the people comparing it to the Suolihi one. To me, even though there were mitigating circumstances there, you can't put your arm straight across someone's chin. And maybe we're looking at it wrong, and now that the way the game's refereed, it's just, you know, it's whether it was head clash or not, he's come out there with out of control and knocked him out effectively. And maybe there's an element of us just getting on board what they're refereeing, which is how they're refereeing things, which has been our battle all year. Anyway, let's move on to this weekend's games. Some good matchups. What do you like?
Absolutely cracking matchups, mate. Obviously, Origin ins and outs, whether players will back up or not, is going to be a huge, kicker for a few teams and a few games, truth be told. That first one, the Sharks Manly Friday night, was going to be an absolute cracker, but obviously Nico's out. The two Manly boys aren't going to back up. We're being told, so that's lost a bit of star power. But the last game for me, not to jump too far ahead on you, mate, but the last game for me, that the Panthers Warriors will be outstanding. So regardless whether the boys back up or not, that will be an absolute cracking game. So I would hope, being Sunday at 6 p.m. it's as far away from Wednesday night as possible, and being in Sydney as well, that they're not traveling. So hopefully they all back up, because I think they're the two best teams in the comp right now. And, it deserves to be a full house out at Combank, I believe they're playing. So I really like that one for me, mate. I think that will be an outstanding clash. I just hope they all back up and give each other an absolute belting.
Yeah, agree. No, I think it should be really good. The Friday night, you said that should be a good game. Sharks, Seagulls, traditional rivals there. The Knights should be well too good for Para. Yeah. But I really like this Saturday afternoon game now. The Tigers have come back to the field. Will they have anyone back this week? I haven't seen team lists. I was out with someone on Tuesday night and then Origin last night. but the Dogs...
Go on, mate.
Oh, you go.
Oh, sorry, mate. I was going to say Twal's back for the Tigers, as is Dream Buller. So they're two big ones, and so is Appy, right? So, we mentioned that they were missing most of their spine the last few weeks. So they're three monster inclusions. So they're not quite full strength. They're still missing a couple, and obviously Taylor May is a huge out for them as well. But they're getting back to full strength. The big one for the Bulldogs is Connor Tracy's been named in the extended, but Carraz was huge at fullback last week for them. Just a huge worker, right? He doesn't have the silky hands of Drinkwater or Walsh, but he's just an out-and-out worker. So he's an interesting one to watch, Carraz. I'd probably prefer him at fullback over Tracy for mine. But that'll be a really interesting one for mine. I think the Tigers have got enough coming back to knock them over. But will be a cracking Saturday afternoon at Combank as well, mate.
Absolutely. I really like the Dogs, what I saw from them. I know the Storm haven't been travelling that well. You mentioned Carraz. Not only worker, he just seemed to offload at will too, in traffic, and so much of their their good ball came off the back of an offload from him. And for the first time all year, they had a real depth to their attack. They were setting the line deep, and it looked good. They actually had a bit of punch up front. That is easily the best they've looked all year, not just because they won and they scored some points, but there was a fluency about the attack. It's like, oh, I really like Tuala, the centre for the Dogs, a young guy. You know, they talked about, you know, he came in for Cherry. Well, Cherry was enormous as well. Something's got to give there next year. We've talked about that all year. But if they can have that sort of intensity and get a bit of flow to their attack like that, attacking from anywhere on the park, they could be heading in the right direction. I don't think they're going to necessarily be threatening the premiership in any way, but I just think they might have hit a bit of a sweet spot here. And the Tigers, even though they've got a few back, haven't been travelling well. Yeah, I think it's going to be one to get yourself in front of the TV for. Storm, again, if the Origin guys back up, Hughes is there now, that should be a decent one. But the one I'm really interested in seeing is how the Dragons respond, because I talked last week about thinking they might be a chance for an upset. Just didn't give themselves a chance again.
Yeah. Look, I think they'll be up against it against the Broncos. You know, there's been a lot of talk, and I know we missed a podcast earlier in the week to review the games. I was out of action, unfortunately. There was a bit of talk around the Dragons' forward pack didn't stand up against the Warriors. And look, truth be told, they weren't tremendous. But it come to the back five. I thought the young Dragons' forward pack were thereabouts. They were better. The Warriors were better than them, no question. The Warriors fans don't hit me on social media 2 weeks in a row. They certainly were better, no question. But I thought they held their own. Where we fell over as the Dragons were the back five were atrocious once again. Unfortunately, they're just not doing it, mate. So, you know, Setu Tu's been fairly strong for us. You know, we get Moses Suli back this week, which is a positive. But unfortunately, Gutho, Val, and Matt Fiega just haven't done the job. They just haven't been able to make the yardage. And, you know, that big Warriors back five just rolled down the field, and that made it easier for the forwards. So, I think while they were far too good for us, I think the Dragons forward pack copped a little bit of criticism that they didn't deserve. But it doesn't get much easier this week. Obviously, he won't play huge minutes, but Payne Haas is back, and they've got a fairly strong side. You'd expect Carrigan to back up after Origin. While he certainly had a huge game, the Broncos need to win some football matches to make sure they're in the eight. So they haven't got it all their way, the Broncos. They've got a few out. Jordan Ricci's out, who's been fairly solid on that right edge for them. I think with Walsh missing out on Origin, Payne Haas wanting to be back, I think they'll be too strong for the Dragons. I think they'll have too many points. And that back five, unfortunately, is just not playing good enough footy.
Yeah, I agree. It leaves you wondering what they're going to do there, because they're going to probably have to have a clear out how many of them are going to be prepared to go and take a deal elsewhere or even get a deal elsewhere. If they're not prepared to go to the Super League, they might be stuck with some of those guys for another 12 months, unfortunately. But you might just have some very well-paid New South Wales Cup players because they are battling. The only thing I can think of is that they both got injuries because they have fallen off a cliff. They were both pretty fair last year, talking about Holmes and Gutho, but just not even in the contest. And it just like I said, old and slow. But fingers crossed for you, mate. I've got real concerns for Parra. If they can't hang on to the ball, that will get an absolute pasting by the Electric Knights. But there's always hope.
There's always hope. Yeah, no, I agree. And I really hope we see the two Raiders boys back up. I think they were two of our best on that left edge for New South Wales. And I think they'll want to. You know, it'll be a bit of badge of honour that they can go and back up and help their club team out. So this will be a really good game. You know, the Cowboys have been performing pretty strongly, and they've got a fairly strong side with the assumption that Cotter backs up for them. They're going to be a fairly strong side. And Raiders, you know, we've seen a little bit of inconsistency. they've had some good patches of games and good performances here or there. So this is another interesting one, and this is one of those ones that if Canberra is another team, and I know we'll talk about it probably as soon as Origin Series is over, but if Canberra don't get some wins soon, they're going to find themselves the same as the Storm and the Broncos, where it's just going to be too much to make up after Origin. So I'm looking forward to this. I've probably got Canberra with the assumption the two Origin boys back up. Probably got Canberra ahead of them, but I won't be surprised if Tom Payton gets the Cowboys up and over the line for another win, mate.
Yeah, they're playing good footy. I like them a lot. I'd like to see them go on a bit of a run, the Cows, because they're good to watch. Yeah. Oh, man. What were you talking about just before then? I had some point that I was going to mention, but now it might be gone. Whatever. Anything else, mate, before we wrap it up?
No, mate, just hopefully they all back up, obviously for club supporters as well as just for the good of the game. That last week's NRL was not high quality. We spoke about having the top 40-odd players out, and we saw it that last week of NRL. So hopefully most of the guys back up, and as you said, there's some cracking games of football, so hopefully we get plenty of people watching, and hopefully we get a few nicer comments on social media this week.
No. I'll make sure I package up the Queensland Don't Get Origin part, because they'll have a different crack at that.
First the New Zealand fans want our blood, and now it'll be the Queenslanders. But, cracking week of footy, and can't wait to see some games this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just a little aside, making some changes here at the podcast. Sport is Life will continue. It will be just talking sport like this. The high-performance stuff and mental skills are moving over to another podcast, but that will be a little bit down the track. So for the time being, if you're waiting for that, stick around, because I'll make an announcement on that soon. But otherwise, we'll be continuing to talk footy, potentially have a football expert to talk the Football World Cup coming up as well. And, of course, we'll be getting all over the cricket once it starts with the Bangladeshis coming for a couple of tests in August, I think it is. So plenty to look forward to there. I'll see you next week, Steve.
Cheers, Hawk.